Before we jump into today's message, let's just pray. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you that you are a good God and that you care for us. You gave us your word so that you could, Lord God, so that we could have that guidance for our life, so that you could show us how we are to live, how we are to pray, Lord God, how we are to honor you. And so we thank you that you have given that to us. We ask that you would speak through your word today so that we may be changed and transformed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, well, we are continuing on in our honor series this morning. Just for review, honor means to make somebody heavy, with blessings, to esteem, to respect, and we talked about a couple weeks ago how we are to honor God with our praise. Then last week we talked about how we are to honor God with how we live, how we are obeying His word and what His word says, not just living by our own rules and standards, but by submitting and surrendering to His rules and standards for our life. And so this week we are going to be talking about that is last week's sermon title. How you living? This week's sermon title, you can scratch that out, write in your notes, is what you serving up. So you can write that down, what you serving up. And we're talking about time this morning. To honor God rightly, we need to give him our time. Deuteronomy 5:12 says this, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. What's that? Okay. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. Now, the Sabbath was a dedicated day of rest and time devoted to God, to be given to him. Now, in this scripture, the word observe is the Hebrew word shamar, which means to keep, to guard, to tend, or to preserve. To keep, to guard, to tend, and preserve. So God is saying, hey, you're going to have to guard this time. Because there's going to be other things that are going to try to weasel their way in, pressure you into spending time with that instead of me. So you need to guard this time. And now more than ever in our culture, in our society, we're busier than ever. There's so many things that are taking up our time, clamoring for our attention and wanting us to spend time with it. You know, we have work, we have school, we have sports, TV shows, movies, video games, social media is a big one. Like you can scroll and scroll and scroll and like, where did those 2 hours of my life go? There's so many things in our life today that are screaming for our attention and that are stealing our time away from God. And it's actually, I believe, it's a scheme of the enemy, that he has purposely brought this about to draw our attention away from God and to get us away from spending time with him. And the scheme, if you don't know, it's a systematic plan of action. Like this wasn't just, I think I'm going to throw some things out there. No, Satan has been doing this quite a while. He knows what he's doing. And he's slowly but surely, over the course of time, added more and more things into our lives to draw us farther and farther away from spending time with God. And so we need to guard that time. And if we do not guard it, things will crowd it out. So we have to make time for him a priority. And if we do that, that honors him. Numbers 18:29 says this, you must present as the Lord's portion the best and holiest part of everything given to you. The best and the holiest part, everything given to you. Now, this scripture is more in referencing like what people produced, but it does say everything given to you. Did you know that God created time? Just even the construct in which we live and operate today. And he gave it to us. God gave us time. He gave us each and every day. He gave us each and every breath that we wake up and we start living with. And so if he's given it to you, he's asking, hey, would you give me the best portion back? So are you scheduling time for God and giving him the best, or are you giving him your leftovers? It's a good question to ask. Now, I would also pose this question. If you are inviting somebody over to your house for dinner or meal someday, are you getting into your fridge and are you pulling out your leftover meatloaf casserole for Monday? You're probably like, what the heck is leftover meatloaf casserole? I don't know. I don't think any of us want to find out. But it doesn't sound appetizing, does it? It doesn't sound like something that you would probably think to serve your guests. No, you're probably planning like, okay, we're going to have the Johnsons over, so let's get out the grill. We're going to cook up burgers. We're going to cook up steak. We're going to do a brisket. Or you're going to plan something nice to bless them and to honor them. You're going to pull out the best. But yet, often, we don't pull out the best for God. We just give him our leftovers. But, you know, life is busy. I mean, you don't understand. I've got work. I've got school. And I got to take the kids to sports and after school programs. And, you know, I got to catch up on that show that I've missed out on. So that I got to, you know, kind of decompress for a couple hours. And by the end of the day, there isn't much left. And so you're like, oh, right, I didn't spend my time with God. So you get on your Bible app, you read the verse of the day, and you call it good. Come on. God is not honored by our leftovers. He's not honored or blessed by us pulling up our Bible app, reading the verse of the day, and thinking we are good. That's not what it's about. We are not to approach God like we approach kind of like how the rest of our culture is. Fast food, fast, give it to me now culture. Like, even if you, like, it's amazing how now, like, you used to read through Facebook posts, and then you got Instagram, now we're on TikTok, it's like 10, 15 seconds. Any longer than that, you're like, ah, too long. I'm guilty of it too. But we should want to give God our best, and not just give him our leftovers. When I was younger, my parents, they tried to instill this in us, teach this to us. I was homeschooled growing up. Now, if you don't know, there is a difference between homeschooled and homeschooler. You can kind of piece those two together in your mind right now. I was not a homeschooler. I was just homeschooled. I got out and I did things, lived a normal life, played sports. But when I was young, my parents tried to instill into us that it was important to give God the best portion of our day and to start our day with him. So before we start, they had a schedule of what we were to do for each and every subject and class that we had that day. But before any of our academic things were to take place, we had Bible and pray time. And it was listed on our little chart. We were to do Bible and pray time. We're supposed to spend time reading God's word, and we were supposed to spend time praying before we did anything else. And they tried and tried and tried to get us to do it and do it in a cognitive manner early in the morning. But I appreciate that so much about my parents, is that they instilled that in us, that no, we are going to give God the first portion. We're going to give him the best. Before we do anything else, we're going to honor him with our time, and we're going to give that to him. And know this, that time with God benefits us. It's not just something that God is like, I want you to do for me. No, this is going to benefit you. When you spend time with me, it's going to be a blessing to you. You're going to be more at peace. Deuteronomy 5:13-15 says this, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the sojourner who is with you within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Keep this day of rest. Keep this time dedicated to me. God wants us to rest, and he wants us to rest in him, not be busy, our mind going 24/7. As many of you know, I worked vocationally as a forester for 18 years before taking on or coming here and taking on this role. And one of the jobs that I held was, it was called a regeneration forester. Great big word for just saying that. It was my job to supervise crews to replant the places that got harvested. And one of my jobs was to collect seed from trees, from cones, and then send them to different nurseries to have them grow little baby seedlings. And over the course of the years of doing this, I learned something that these nurseries have these fields in which they grow these trees, and they have found out that they need to give the fields a period of rest. And if they don't, the trees that come out of those fields aren't as healthy. They don't grow that well. They're kind of sick. And strikingly enough, not striking if you, you know, go by God's word, but they have found out that the best rotation, the best cycle is to grow crops in those fields for 6 years and to what? Rest it a seventh year. And when they do that, they have found that they grow healthier, stronger trees. But if they continue to eke out production out of that land for another seventh year, it does not go well. So grow 6, rest 7, and then come back. I think maybe God set that up. Now, in saying all this, I want to say this. God did not set this up just so that it would be a religious observance. Not just some mandatory thing that he wants us to do, a rule for us to follow. Mark 2:23-28 says this: one Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are you doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. And he said to them, 'The Sabbath was not made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.'" Did I read that right? I don't know. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for us to rest. God designed us to rest and to rest in him. And he saying, you need this. You need time of rest. You need time with me. You will not function at full capacity if you're trying to do this on your own and you don't spend any time with me. If you're trying to fight the good Christian fight, live the good Christian life all on your own, it's not going to work. You need to recharge your batteries with me. And we just went on a quick camping trip, and we didn't charge the battery in our trailer. And it's like, whoops. Guess we're just using flashlights for this trip. It doesn't work just on your own power. And God created the Sabbath. He created this concept because he wants us to spend time with him. But he also created it because he wants to spend time with us. And that's why Jesus died on the cross, is because in the garden, when Adam and Eve sinned, that relationship was severed, and God had created us for relationship. He created us, one, to know him and to worship him. One, to have a relationship with him. God did not create us just so that we would be a bunch of robots and his servants marching around. He created us because he wanted to have a relationship with us and to get to know him and us get to know him. And Jesus, again, he gave his life so that relationship which was severed in the garden could be restored. Now, you can't have a good relationship with anybody that you don't spend time with. I have many people that I know in concept, but only a few people that I really know because I spend time with them. I do life with them. I know what's going on in their life. I know what they like. I know what they don't like, which you can only know if you spend time with somebody. You learn a lot about somebody by just being around them and spending time with them. If you really want to know what God is like, spend time with him. You will not know what God is really like by reading the verse of the day. Come on. It's going to take some time. And so that means you're going to have to set some time for that to take place. How that looks for you personally might be different, and it might be different day to day, how we spend time with God. God is a he's infinite. And so how we relate to him, I don't think there's any end. He gave us his word, which is amazing. We can read his truth, and I believe we should be in his word daily. But we can also relate to him through prayer, which is talking with him, bringing just our daily lives to him. God, this is what I'm going through. God, I need your help. I need your peace. Please help me. You can spend time just in worship. God, thank you. I praise you for what you have done. You can go on walks with God. You can go on walks in nature with him. I love hiking and seeing his beauty and that he has created and just thanking him. God, you're so awesome. Thank you for this time. But however it looks, we need to set aside time for God. It's not just going to happen on its own. Because on its own, again, it will just be at the end of the day when you're dog tired and you just pull out your app. Jesus tried to illustrate this many times in Scripture. Luke 10:38-42 says this. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. What was the good portion? The good portion was time with Jesus. The good time was just spending time. The good portion was just spending time with him, listening to what he had to say, spending time in his presence. And God and Jesus was saying, there's many things that you guys are worried about, that you feel like you have to get done, that need to take place, but don't neglect the good portion, which is time with me. A few years ago when I was still working in forestry, I had to get up most of the time anywhere between 4 and 5 a.m. to get to work, and I had an hour drive to work, and that was a good time that I got to spend with God. It was like a set, dedicated, like, as much as I didn't really like the drive, it was like already built-in time that I got to spend time with God, worship and pray and talk to him and stuff, which was really good. I didn't get a whole lot of sleep during the week, as I'd go to bed around 10 or 11 and I have to wake up at 4 or whatever. So on the weekends, I really looked forward to being able to sleep in. Well, there came a point where I felt like God said, hey, I want you to get up an hour before your kids get up on the weekends to spend time with me. I was like, well, God, my son is a crazy person. And he wakes up at like 6:30 or 7 every Saturday morning. Not anymore. He sleeps in and he's a teenager. Thank you, Jesus. And so I argued with God over this. I was like, don't you know? I'm arguing with God, don't you know that this is the only day I get to sleep? Can I sleep? He's like, I want you to do this. I want you to get up an hour before he gets up. So that meant I had to get up on Saturday and Sunday, 5:30 or 6 a.m. And so my quote-unquote time of sleep was getting cut short. Finally, I was like, okay, God, I will do this. I will obey. I will surrender. And I will get up an hour before my kids get up so I can spend this time with you. And it was the greatest, one of the most, I guess, would say, pivotal moments in my life. I'd say every obedient decision that I've given to God is the most pivotal. But I've never looked back and never want to. I'm never going to give that time up. It's just become too precious to me, time with him. Jesus himself made this important for him. Jesus spent time with the Heavenly Father. Mark 1:35 says, and rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Jesus knew how important it was to have time with his Heavenly Father. He knew he needed time with him so that he himself could be refreshed, so that he himself could be filled up and prepared for what was before him. There's a few other verses for you on your notes as well as that illustrates how Jesus spent time away with God, his Father. So to honor God, we need to set aside time for him. Now, this will probably mean that you guys need to reorder things, reorganize your schedule a little bit, maybe cut some things out. Maybe you don't need to be involved in 4 different shows right now. Maybe you don't need to watch 2-3 hours of TV every night. Or maybe it means getting up an extra 10-15 minutes early in the morning to give God that first part. It is going to take some time. It is going to take some priorities being realigned where God is most important. And we show that God is most important by giving him the best portion, by giving him the first. And it is going to take some guarding of that time because, again, things are going to try to creep in. Things are going to try to weasel their way in and take that time away from God. So we're going to have to guard it. Matthew 6:33 says this, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all else will be added to you. So if you seek first him, if you say, God, I'm going to give you this before anything else, I'm going to spend time with you because you're the most important to me. Before anything else that takes place, I'm going to give you this portion. God has given us time. And we should give him the best portion of our time, the first portion. We should honor him with what he has given us. And to honor him, we need to give him the best, not give him the leftovers. Don't give God your leftover meatloaf casserole. Let's give him a steak. Let's give him the best. And I can tell you this from experience, that if you do, you will be blessed. You will be at peace. You will receive all the blessings that he tells you he will give you. When life hits you and comes at you hard, but you've honored him with your time, you will still have peace. You will still have joy if you guard that time with him and that rest with him. Amen? This is for our benefit. God created the Sabbath for our benefit, for us to rest in his presence and be refreshed by his presence, so that his presence will give us that peace that surpasses all understanding. And it will guard our hearts and it will guard our minds from all the worries and the cares of this world. But we can't have any of that if we don't spend time with him. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. It starts by first surrendering to Jesus Christ your life. Saying, I know I've been living my own life and I don't have peace. There's a lot of worry. There's a lot of chaos. I want to know this God of peace. I want to know this God who wants to spend time with me. The creator of the heavens and the earth desires to spend time with you, but you have to make that first initial decision to say, God, I accept what you did on the cross to restore my relationship with you. Please forgive me of my sins and free me of them and help me to honor you in everything that I do, including my time. So I want to give an opportunity. If you have not given your life to Christ, if you are here this morning and you want to do that, you want to say, I want my relationship with God to be restored. With every head bowed and every eye closed. If that's you this morning, at one point you did have a relationship with God, but you know you've walked away. You know you've gone down your own road. And you want to rededicate your life to him. You want to rededicate your time to him. If that's you this morning, can you just raise your hand? Is there anybody like that this morning? Says, I need to surrender. I see that hand. Anybody else? It's an amazing thing. I see that hand. It's an amazing thing to know that the creator of the universe, his greatest desire is to spend time with us. So let's pray this prayer together. These aren't magic words, but if you confess with your mouth what you believe in your heart, you will be saved and your relationship with God will be restored and you can begin to walk with him. You can begin to spend time with him and you can begin to receive all the benefits that we get by spending time with our Creator. So let's say this together. Father God, thank you for loving me so much that you gave your Son to die for me. Jesus, thank you for giving your life to pay for my sin. Please forgive me of all my sin, all my mistakes. Cleanse me. Restore to me my relationship with you. And give me the strength to live for you and to guard my time with you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on. If you gave your life to Christ or you rededicated your life to him this morning, I want to encourage you to the next steps, which is becoming water baptized, which you can sign up for at the Connection Center, and to get into our Fresh Start class, which is the kind of the beginning, the basic steps of your newfound walk with God. So I encourage you to do that. You can do that at Connection Center as well. If I could just have the prayer team come on up. If you need prayer for anything, please come forward, regardless of what it is. Just spend these few moments with God, with one of our prayer altar team workers. God's word says that where two or more are gathered, there I am in their midst. So please come get prayer as we just end this time honoring God, worshiping him, and praising him. Amen. Amen. Let's praise.